agree with that?
I agree with everything Ava said. And I actually agree with what Mary said in terms of they've had, you know, 8 years to put this together. But
do you agree with that? Hold on. Do you agree with anything I said?
I agree with everything you said.
I just want to say, because you were being a little sexist just then. You were mentioning the women, but you didn't mention me. I just want to point that out to you.
I'm saving something else for you.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
Is healthcare a right? Is it a privilege, a right? Should we all have it? It's really hot in the news right now because of obviously what's happened. Sort of with socialized medicine, the Obamacare thing, I guess, for those who know or don't want that anymore. Where Trump is, what's happening with that. And so let's start off with this here. Since we're talking to three women, let me ask the first question, then you all take it where you want to take it after that. Should men pay for women's health care if they're not married, like pap smears, mammograms, maternity leaves, and things like that? Should men pay for that? Like if I'm young, I got a job, money's tight, I just want to go out and have a drink and get laid. That's my priorities for the day as a young guy. I don't want to pay for your, you know, your exams and stuff. Is that fair?
Well, should women pay for Viagra?
Oh, wow.
I'm glad you said it, because I was just going to say.
No, but I don't need Viagra, Ava, so that's another thing. No.
Should I pay for your insulin if you're a diabetic? Should I pay for your, I mean, when we start breaking down individual, either by gender or by illness or by whatever, doesn't that put us into really dangerous and tricky territory?
Very. So, and I don't, first of all, the premise that I'm coming from, being a conservative, I do not think healthcare is a right. I think it's something that, it's a commodity. And so I don't think there should be laws governing what we should purchase or not purchase. I'm just more libertarian and conservative in that arena. So I have many facts and figures about Obamacare that I can share with you, but... No, I don't think. I actually think Obamacare was rather brilliantly contrived, because it's really a scam to force single payer in America. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you ladies go ahead with that.
Sally, what do you think about that, Sally?
Well, I like to just, you know, I love political hocus pocus semantics.
And you came to the right place.
Exactly. I mean, we call it the Affordable Health Care Act. Obamacare, we call it now, we're looking at the American Health Care Act. First of all, it's not about health care, it's about insurance. These are insurance. And what the Obamacare did is they killed the health care system, but it's really about insurance. And so we're trying to appeal to everybody, because you say, oh, a health care is a right. Well, any person who gets hurt or needs health care in America can walk into an emergency room, and by law, they cannot be turned away. They must be treated. So we're talking about insurance.
Exactly.
And you can give people insurance, but if there are no doctors, or their premiums are high, or their deductibles are too high, then you take away their health care. But, you know, we keep talking about health care. I think as a country, we have a heart, we take care of people. I believe in some ways health care is a right, health insurance is not.
Okay. I think health care could be handled a lot differently than it is.
Absolutely.
I think that Obamacare was really just a vehicle to get everybody that couldn't afford health insurance onto Medicaid, and now the Medicaid rolls are incredibly huge in many states. Big problem coming down the road here.
Yeah, but I think it also, it certainly was a way to create a single payer, a universal health, a government controlled health care. And when you start adding all the mandates and the fines on employers, what you're doing is saying, I know you're not going to be able to afford this, and therefore the employees are going to have to go on the exchanges. That's how they paid for it. And as much as I'm angry with Justice Roberts for calling it a tax, that's exactly what it was. There was taxing in order to pay for a system, and that's why it's imploding.
Mary Fran, chime in here a minute before I give my two cents, please.
I have to say one of my biggest concerns as a quasi-liberal or whatever you want to call it, I found one of the benefits of it was just the sheer number of people who were able to have coverage. You know, just because you can walk into an emergency room and be treated, you still get the bills afterwards. So if I have young kids who fortunately were able to remain on my health insurance up until they were 26, and now fortunately they're all in a position where they are either they get it through their work or whatever. But, prior to that point, if they weren't able to stay on my health care and they walked into an emergency room and they were treated, you know, what kind of bills are they then faced with? I really think that this issue is so much more complicated, and you can't take the humanity out of it. There is an enormous number of people that were covered under Obamacare, and I think we have to consider that.
No, except the plan was initially to take 30 million people that did not have health care insurance and make it possible. And I would have been more than happy in paying taxes to get those people on insurance. What it did, though, it had a reverse effect because it took people who had health care, had insurance, like their doctor, and now they're losing it. And for the ones forced on the exchange, they're losing it. So, you know, we have to take care of people. We have to find a way to do it. But the question is, who pays for it? How does it happen? And we can't have government telling you that you must have health care. When I was 26 years old, I was an assistant vice president at Citibank. I can't imagine my parents paying for my health care. But circumstances are different. But the question is, government should not be dictating who gets health care, who's forced on it. And they talk about, 20 million people are going to lose it with the new plan. Well, some of those people don't want the health care. I didn't need it when I was young.
Right, right. And Mary Fran, so you think Obamacare was a good thing, and you do support like a universal health care program then of some sort, for the record, right?
You know, Malcolm, I find that question to be a really challenging one to answer. And I would have to say that I think the Republican government that we have, that we're looking at now, has found it challenging too. I mean, they had 8 years to figure something out, now the plan that's been put in, that's been.
You know why you have a hard time figuring it out as a Democrat, as a liberal? Do you know why?
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Yeah, I will. Thank you. That's why I'm opinionated, of course.
She's having too many
because
orgasms.
It's because exactly. Thank you, Ava. Thank you, love.
And I'm paying for them.
Can never have enough. Listen, here's the deal, Mary Fran. No, it's because you're too much of a logical thinker. You're not a far left extremist. I've talked to you now multiple times, and every time I talk to you, you're far too intelligent to be a far left extremist lunatic.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't think that I'm a far left extremist lunatic, but I also think that one of the problems with this whole issue is that people try to oversimplify it, and clearly it is not.
Well, but hold on. But Sally kind of hit a little bit of that head on. If you've got something that goes wrong, you have something with your heart, or you break a leg or something, and you go into a damn emergency room, they're going to mend you up. We don't just throw people down the gutter. Let's be clear.
What are they going to charge you afterwards?
Well, they don't pay their bills anyways. Who gives a rat's ass?
An awful lot of hospitals write off stuff if people are unpaid.
Absolutely.
Okay? And they also do payment plans. And I'll tell you another little dirty secret, okay? If customer pays directly to the person who's doing the whatever the medical thing is, and you don't have an insurer in the middle of it, the bill is much smaller.
You're exactly right. They discounted, David. No, you're 100% right. And every hospital has a fund. I know from the principals and the CEOs of the hospitals that have told me that. And that fund, and a lot of that comes from government as well. You know that, Sally, right?
Well, of course. I mean, I just had spinal fusion surgery. I mean, the bill that they charge is astronomical, and then it gets talked down. So they automatically overcharge because they know that the insurance company is going to knock it down. Exactly. So nobody charges exactly what it costs.
Isn't that really, don't we keep coming back to those same two words, insurance company? I mean, isn't there something inherently wrong with the way these big companies are doing business? To me, it all ends up coming back to that.
Yeah, well, the problem is, though, you don't want to get government into this because
exactly
you have the insurance company and you have the person who's purchasing the insurance. Now, if you add another entity to this called the government, you're really going to have an effed up thing. I'm just telling you.
Well, and let me pick up on that a second. I've been listening to you guys. You're all passionate about this. But Mirafin, I'm going to tell you that this government thing, can you point to me one thing? Give me an example, please, of one agency in the government that is going so swimmingly well right now that you would put your money on it in a poker game and say, man, they're doing a phenomenal job over there. Like really, they got, you know, what is that? Which agency is that?
I don't think there is one.
Yeah, you betcha.
And I mean, I think you knew that answer before.
So
but, you know, I think that we have to recognize that it's part of this particular issue is the fact that we have something that's health, that is about the health of humans. That should not necessarily be a commodity. And yet, because we live in a capitalist democratic society, health insurance companies, it's run like a commodity. That to me is where the inherent problem is. They're trying to make a profit. They're not giving you health insurance and they're not providing care because they just want us all to sit around and sing Kumbaya and everybody to be healthy. They want to make money. And yeah. I think that's part of the problem here. And I think that's why perhaps the Democratic government went overboard, and I will give you that, in regulating it. But I also think they recognize the problem, which is that these companies are out to make money.
Well, but
they're
let's
not
hold
out
on
to make
here.
People healthy.
But if you turn it into a free market, you get rid of the mandates,
exactly.
You let people choose what they want, and the insurance company is too expensive, they'll go someplace else. It will bring the cost down.
Well, here's an example. Okay, before Obamacare, there were mini plans for people who worked part-time, or they were, you know, fast food workers, or they worked at Walmart, or, you know, the guy changing your oil at Pep Boys. I mean, they had mini plans for people, and they only covered certain things, catastrophic, or, you know, maybe a health, physical once a year, things like that. But they were also small in the premium that was paid. Those were outlawed when Obamacare came along. Many other plans were also discarded. And Obamacare has so overregulated this marketplace, it's actually suffocating itself. And why I said at the very beginning of the show, Obamacare is a scam to force single payer. Obamacare is actually imploding upon itself, and it was designed to do so.
Government does not do better than the free market at anything. Government is full of bureaucracy and power brokers who are out to grab your wallet and the power that they seek at every turn possible. So the more government we have, and back to your point, Mary Fran, when you and I were talking a bit ago and you said, well, you couldn't think of an agency that was successful. Well, no kidding. It's like, Malcolm, stop it. That's an oxymoron question. Well, then stop asking for more government, Democrats. Stop asking for bigger government where they control everything. Because bottom line is, it's not healthy for any of us. The free market does far better at things because people, we can control cost. I mean, they don't buy $900 hammers. I mean, they don't waste money. You don't have the lobbyist. The free market is much more capable of handling these things. So back to the humanity. You know, a lot of the left, I find, goes on to this intolerant mode of how the right, how they have no passion. They have no passion. They don't care about people. And what do you do with all these people? It's boo hoo. And, you know, and this is like a game. You know, if you take a look at the charities around the country and around the nation here, you'll find that more Republicans give to not for profits. You'll find more of the right given to that than the left. You'll find more compassion. So I'm sorry, but I think a lot of people on the left, and I'm speaking as a conservative here, maybe I've overstepped my bounds, but I believe that they're asking for far too much from everybody, this Robin Hood syndrome they have. It's like a disease where they just want to take, because most of them are lazy and they're sitting at home on their asses eating bonbons or whatever they're doing on the, you know, whatever, watching that reality TV with The Biggest Loser or the Dippity Doop Da or whatever the hell the last crazy ass show is that they're watching, man.
Well, see, here's the big problem, though, Malcolm. Yeah, I know. Here's the big problem is where do we go from here? Because now what we've done by implementing Obamacare, we've actually imploded the medical system in the United States. And by that, I mean we have almost destroyed 1/6 of the economy by doing this. Now, this is why the Republicans are all arguing amongst themselves.
That's right.
And let me tell you right now, I will make a statement on this program, and I hope to God Donald Trump listens to
All right, hold on. Stay right there. Stay right there. We're gonna hold on that statement till just after the pause here. It sounds like a heavy statement, and we got to get a break in here. And I don't think we can handle that statement in this segment, Ava. So hang on just right there.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Hi, this is Ava Armstrong. I'm an author, and I'm on America Out Loud with Malcolm Out Loud.
Right here, man.
Mary Von Tempo.
I'm right here.
She's our Democrat lady. And, Hernandez, and she's kind of a libertarian conservative, I think, from what I'm getting from her anyways.
But Sally, are you that?
I would say I'm socially moderate and fiscally conservative.
Okay.
We're pretty much in the same camp then. I think I'm kind of libertarian and conservative and I lean a little socially moderate, yes. Yeah.
And by the end of the show, Mary will be there, too.
Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath, Sally.
Yeah, we'll all be holding hands and singing Kumbaya.
Singing Kumbaya, yeah. Right.
That's not going to happen. But we were
Maybe
talking
we'll
about...
just all go out and get a glass of wine together later. Maybe that's what we should just do.
I like that. I'm there. And I'll buy the wine for all of you. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
So we were in the middle of a discussion about what do we do now with Obamacare? And I had a piece of advice for President Trump. And like I said, I hope some of his minions or somebody listens to this, because this is really critical. Republicans need to come together on this issue. And I think Mr. Trump is making a mistake by supporting the rhinos. And by that, I mean Paul Ryan and the people that are giving him Obamacare light, which only repeals two of the things that need to be
950,000 million in that 56,000 document page piece of whatever. Go ahead.
Exactly. And he needs to listen to the Freedom Caucus. And right now he's at odds with the Freedom Caucus. And I think he needs he's at odds with the Freedom Caucus. And let me tell you something, my dear. The Freedom Caucus got Mr. Trump into office. we were the people that rallied behind Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and a few other people. Mm-hmm. And when it came time that Trump was emerging as the candidate, we were very, very much in his corner, and I am still in his corner. I'm a very, very strong Trump supporter. And out of all the things he's done in the first, whatever it is, 80 days he's been in office, I'm right in there with him. The only bone to pick is this one particular thing that I'm saying, is that he needs to turn to the Freedom Caucus for guidance, because they're really telling him what all, really most Republicans, I'm not going to say all because there are some that are squishy, but most Republicans feel the same way that I do.
Sally, you agree with that?
I agree with everything Ava said. And I actually agree with what Mary said in terms of they've had, you know, 8 years to put this together. But
do you agree with that? Hold on. Do you agree with anything I said?
I agree with everything you said.
I just want to say, because you were being a little sexist just then. You were mentioning the women, but you didn't mention me. I just want to point that out to you.
I'm saving something else for you.
Oh, my gosh. Are we going back to the other show? I don't know. Maybe we should rein this in, gals.
But here's my take. You know, I think the media makes a lot of, you know, a lot out of nothing. And with all what's going on, I find very positive. I don't find it positive when the Democrats say, no matter what it is, we're going to say no. I find it positive when a bunch of Republicans don't agree with each other and they start hashing it out. Now, I think the mistake was made because they rushed to judgment and they set a deadline. It's like, you know, Bush with his Gulf War, we'll get out in 100 days. They shouldn't have even gone for a vote. They should have taken another month, 2 months, whatever it takes, and hash it out, because I think they all have ideas and they'll just make it a better bill. But, you know, it's like airing their laundry, and it doesn't bode well with the Republicans. It makes them look like they're indecisive. But I actually think it's very positive that, you know, there's all these plans and they're going to have to come together. Now, I just want to make one other point. I think there should be, I don't know if it's legal or whatever, executive order that says whatever this plan is, every single member of Congress will get the same plan. And all of a sudden, I think we'll start seeing some reasonable things.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yes.
Was that an orgasm you were having, Ava, or was you agreeing with Sally?
Oh, yes.
You sounded like our friend in the movie there. What's her name?
Sally Met.
Oh, when Sally met Harry. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump in here because the three of you had said at one point, if I could have only seen your faces, and if you could have only seen mine the last few minutes, holding my head about, oh my gosh, what's going on in the White House. That being said, I would have to, Sally, take issue with one of the things that you said about the Democrats just saying that no matter what it is, we're not going to support it, because I think the Republicans kind of did that with Obama for the last 8 years. No matter what came out of the guy's mouth, they were not going to back it. So I think that is an inherent problem in both parties. Let me just say that the biggest problem with our government is that nobody talks to one another. It's all this partisan nonsense, and it ends up nothing gets done. I will definitely agree with you that whatever plan is put forth, every member of Congress should have it. I absolutely agree with that. And I also agree with one of the biggest problems with this is this is too complicated of an issue to just say, well, we didn't like it, we're going to change it, and we're just going to push something through. I mean, for God's sake, let's
hold on, young lady. Hold on, man. Wow, did you really say that? Mary Fran, it was your people who did this.
My people. Well, my people who did what? My people weren't the ones.
Obamacare.
Democrat. Hold on. Let me make my point.
Go ahead.
Democrats jammed Obamacare in through the middle of the night. They had not one piece of support, back to one-sixth of the economy, what Ava was saying. They had not had one support of Republicans at all. He twisted arms. In fact, many of the arms they twisted are no longer in politics today.
My point is simply that with what they just did, it needed to be a more thoughtful. I'm not saying, believe me, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Obamacare is perfect. I think there's far too much regulation. It's a mess. Don't take my words out of context and assume that I'm just a supporter of this. What I'm saying is, yeah, it's a mess, which is all the more reason why, as Sally said, it needs to be a thought out process. Mm-hmm. Let's put something together. Let's talk to each other and make something better instead of just saying, well, we hate this, so we're just going to repeal it.
I don't know what's going to happen.
We hate it. We have all kinds of statistics that says it's going to implode.
Implode, right.
I mean, right now, the estimates coming from CBO is that young people are going to expect their rates to increase like 58% to 91%. Young people, for the majority, don't even want the health care. I mean, it's just unsustainable. So we have to do something. But I agree, Mary, that we didn't have to do it in the first 72 days.
I mean, I think to me that was almost like we're trying to prove a point. And at this stage of the game, can we stop trying to prove a point and just get something done that's actually going to work for people?
No, I'm not sure it's to prove a point. And this is kind of the problem I have with Trump. I think he comes in, he's doing all the things that he was elected to do. Mm-hmm. He's trying to do it all at once. I swear this guy never sleeps. The problem is that running a business and making decisions and negotiating doesn't work the same inside the Beltway. And I think he just didn't understand that. And he's finding that out, unfortunately, after these blunder after blunder after blunder. So, you know, we're getting more, at least accomplished and out there in many ways, but we need to, I think everybody needs to just take a deep breath and let's make sure you have a reasonable plan and you've got the support. And they've got to get the Democrat support. The Democrats didn't get the Republican support, not because they didn't get it, because they didn't ask for it. But they...
Oh, do you really think, Sally, they would have gotten it?
They didn't need the vote.
Right. Okay, and that's the point. I don't think... I go back to it being too much of a partisan issue on both sides. I mean, I'm not saying any one party is more guilty of it than the other. I think they both are. And that's
It's pretty disheartening.
I'm in a different camp here. I'm all for raw power, okay? When you have raw power, you should exert it. And that's how I think politics has worked in this country since the very beginning. There were days, yes, Tip O'Neill was having a couple of, you know, bourbons in the back room with somebody making a deal. I think those days are pretty much gone. I think whoever's in power, whoever has the power is going to make the rules. So I think at first I thought Trump probably did this as a bargaining chip. And if he did do it for that, that's brilliant, because what he did is he handed this off to Paul Ryan and he said to Paul Ryan, give me the plan. Paul Ryan hands him the Rhino plan. Then he went to the Freedom Caucus. And they said, no, this is the plan we want. And they handed him their plan. And then he sat in a room with them and he said, why are we arguing about this SHIT? You guys get together and make this work. Well, it didn't work. And Paul Ryan is the one that kind of ended up with the egg on his face.
Well, okay, Ava, I think you're onto something, love. To your point, if you read Trump's books or you understand how he does the deals, you just put out there exactly what he does.
I want to be this guy's Svengali, okay? Yeah. If he would just read my Twitter feed. Yeah. I'm telling him how to do this. I'm giving him basic instructions on how to do this. I mean, I know it sounds insane, but... this is really a lot easier than
but
you think.
Part of the art of the deal, and as he states in his books, is that he's, you know, he plays nice, he negotiates the best he can, he tries to bring people together, but then when that doesn't work, then he starts calling people out. And he's already put the tweets out today where he's calling out Tom Jordan and the rest of the members of Freedom Caucus that you have got to get together and we've got to come up with a deal. So the dynamics are changing a little bit, but...
And the media is going crazy, by the way. The media is going berserk. Every time he tweets, they have a heart attack. I think it's hysterical.
Oh, I do too. I love it.
I know, us political junkies.
Well, they've never had a president who would share his thoughts. Well, that's the only we haven't had a good president since Ronald Reagan. They all suck since him. They're both Democrats and Republicans. What?
I'm banging my head against the table over here.
I don't.
Against the table.
Well, you've got to admit, Mary Fran, you loved Ronald Reagan, right? Mary Fran, hold on. Let me twist that arm a little more. Let me restate the question. Mary Fran, you liked Ronald Reagan, right?
I liked Ronald Reagan. I didn't love Ronald Reagan.
Oh, I loved Ronald Reagan. Ava, talk to me. So you hit up a good point here on this whole thing that I think is critical, that this is a game that's being played right now. And how do we really get there, Ava? How do we get out of this sort of thing? I think he has exposed this thing for what it is. And what is it going to become of now? So right now, what's happened is the Republicans sort of have their hands tied at the moment in some ways, because they would have never gotten this far. So back to what Obamacare did and what Democrats did by pushing Obamacare in through the order of, you know, through the darkness of night, where nobody knew what was really going on. And, you know, there was nobody read the bill, you know. Dumbass Pelosi got up there and said, who's the most ignorant politician on the planet, by the way. As she gets up there and says, oh, you know, nobody reads the bill. We just have to pass it and see what's in it. Yeah, I mean, how lame is that? And she does the stupidest thing. She's, you know, I think her and Paul Ryan would make a nice couple, you know, actually. Pelosi and Ryan, because I don't like him either, by the way. So those two would make a great couple. Yeah. And by the way, I know who Tip O'Neill was making the deal with, by the way, Ava. It was Ronald Reagan and Newt Gingrich, by the way. That's, they were drinking the bourbon with him, by the way.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah, I do.
That's who that. And they got a lot of things done. But the point is now that so the Democrats have succeeded here, because had they not done what they did, if they did not ram this Affordable Health Care Act, whatever it was called, ACA, through the ranks of what they did, we wouldn't be having this discussion now, and the Republicans wouldn't be mandated to do something about it. So back to your point, Ava, how do you break all this up and where do you go with it? Now the cat's out of the bag. It's all running around. So at any point now, they're going to get some sort of victory, because that's always what the Democrats wanted. And like Sally said, the single-payer system is what they were really after. Okay,
I'm
so
whispering. I'm the president whisperer, okay? You know how there's a dog whisperer?
Yeah.
I'm the president whisperer. I wish I could be like Jiminy Cricket whispering in his ear.
Right.
Because he's a Jiminy Cricket.
I'll tell you, this is much easier than you're being told. All right.
So tell us the plan.
We had a health care system before this loony Obamacare came along. We will also have a health care system once this Obamacare is gone. And I mean kill it with a stick. Okay. And that's the only way that you will have a free market in this country. And it's the only way you will have plans that will emerge that will be consumer sensitive. And by that, I mean, if you want a plan that's the old-fashioned, you know, I'm going back to this mini plan thing again, but I mean, if you're a part-time worker, you can get, you know, the mini plan. If you're, you know, a young couple and you need maternity benefits and you need all this other stuff and you don't go to the doctor that much and, you know, you just want your physical paid for, there will be plans that will emerge. You know why? Because this would be consumer-driven.
How do you say this is going to be consumer driven, Ava? I mean, let me just say this. If that happens, then let's get the rainbows and the unicorns and the fairy dust out, because I think that would be fantastic. I still go back to the fact that insurance companies are about making money. You're assuming.
But they're supposed to be, Mary Fran.
Let me answer her. Who will have the money if Rand Paul's plan goes forth? You know who will have the money? The consumer. You will have money in your hand, and it's called a health savings account, and you will determine who you want to, whatever kind of insurance you want to buy. You can even say you don't want to buy insurance. You just want to save money in a nest egg and pay for things. You might want to do a concierge type service, or you might want to just, you know, have a private deal with a doctor you know. I mean, there will be so many different ways to get health care, to get any kind of, you know, or you might be a totally healthy young man or woman and say, you know what, I'm not going to buy health care for a few years. I'm just going to sock this money away. No one should be forced to purchase anything.
See, the free market will find the opportunities. That's why you'll have, that's what she's saying, Mary Fran, is opportunities will present themselves, because see, that's what free market people do. We know how to make a buck, and we know how to, and you know, when you keep, and I want to stop a minute. I know you think government is the answer, but I want to say this. You know, government, not only can they not do it, Mary Fran, I mean, we've already proven that, but when you say there's got to be an answer, if we give it to them, how are they going to fix it? How are they going to do health care when they can't run any of the agencies the way they need to be run? Their only idea is to run it into the ground, seek more power, charge more taxes, screw more people up. So if we give it back
the VA,
to
the VA is a good example. If you want the government running your health care, then
it's
really
a perfect situation.
How the VA works.
And our
it's
vets
terrible.
Hate it. We are back, and the Mary Fran says I'm killing her. I don't know what she's talking about, man. We're just having a real good cut. She, you know why? She's got that Catholic guilt thing going on.
Oh, Mary, pray for your soul tonight.
My soul's doing great. The Lord actually, God talked to me before I did this show. He actually, I had a whole conversation with him. I did. And he knows, but I mean, he's all over this. God is all over America Out Loud. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
I have a question for you. Are you guys aware that sex change operations are being paid for by taxpayers?
I heard that, yes. Ava.
Yeah. Yes.
I have to say that I'm not on board with that. I guess this comes back to what you said earlier, Malcolm. I am probably much more of a moderate than I am a true dyed-in-the-wool liberal. I have some problems with the way this whole thing is moving forward. I don't think we can trust the insurance companies to really have healthcare be in the best interests of humans, because it's a commodity. I don't believe it should be treated as a commodity. But again,
you see, insurance companies are in business to make money, Mary Fran. Is there anything
illegal?
But is there anything wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything wrong with any company being in business to make money. But let me say this. When you mix in something that to me is, and I'm sorry, folks, I believe that every human is entitled to some kind of care, I don't think that you're going to find that the insurance companies are working.
Mary Fran, here's your choice. Hold on. I got a left hand and a right hand open. You got to tell me which one you pick. Now, on the left hand, you can have the government, okay, who is going to... they're not going to be able to run the program. They can't. You've already admitted they don't do anything right. So we have them.
They didn't do anything right.
Yes, you did. You couldn't point to one agency who had any brains.
I never said that they didn't do anything right. But I'm not gonna come out and say that the government's not a train wreck. It is.
Amen.
No question about that.
And that's both sides of the aisle there. And then you've got companies who want to make a profit, and you've got government who wants to run your life and seek the power. Which do you take? I'll take the private side.
Okay, I've got to jump in. I have something in my left hand, and I have something in my right hand. Okay, in my left hand, I have Obamacare. In my right hand, I have your dog's veterinary policy or your dog's vet. Okay. How would you rather have your health care administered? Would you rather go to the vet of your choice and choose the procedures that you want done and pay for them out of your own pocket? And perhaps you could, you know, talk about the bill and get the bill down a little bit. Or you could choose the best vet in town, or the youngest, or the one that is holistic. Or would you rather have somebody else dictate to you? That's the question.
I think that's an oversimplification of the question, because one of the things that you said, Ava, would you rather pay for it yourself? And not everybody can. And that's part of the issue.
You can
here.
If the government allows you to have health savings accounts. If from day one you're working at Burger King, okay, when you're 14, 15, or whatever, you know, age it is legal to work, I had money in a bank account when I worked, you know, at a Dairy Queen when I was young. So, I mean, I was saving money and, you know, not just a little bit of money. I mean, I had $1,000 for one summer. I mean, that's pretty good. And when you're that young, and if you have a system set up where people can keep some of their money in an account, and yes, it has to be specifically utilized for hospitalization or health services.
And isn't that dictating how you're spending your money? Isn't that what you're telling me you're against?
But it's your money, and you're choosing where to spend it. You know, if you want that, you know, you want the heart operation, or if you don't want the heart operation, you want to do a stent, or you want to, you know, you're more involved in your health care or in your any procedure that's being done to you, especially when there's nobody else in the middle, like all these regulations telling you that you can't have the stent because, you know, that's too expensive or this or that. You've got to get these middlemen out of the picture. If you really want better health, the relationship between you and the health giver, the guy that's giving you the help, he's really the key here in this whole thing. And this is the other problem, too, we haven't even touched upon. Nobody wants to be a doctor anymore.
Exactly. That's true. That's true.
I think killing. That's very true. And that's scary.
They don't want to be in the business. Yeah.
But, you know, then we go back to this idea of, again, I come back to the insurance companies. You have people who are not involved in your personal care sitting on the other end of the phone saying, well, no, you can't have that procedure. You don't need it. When your doctor's telling you, you do. I mean, again, I think that there's...
Oh, yeah, that happens every day, Mary Fran. That happens every day.
But that also happens because of Obamacare and because of the regulations are so complex. You've got all of these, you know, bureaucrats sitting at a computer typing in what you had and deciding what you're going to get. But I'd like to bring up another point, too, because there seem to be, and I'm not picking on Mary, but on the liberal side, they seem to think the government has money. And they forget that it's their taxes that are paying for it. And so the more power you give to the government, the more control you give the government, then you think, oh, I'm getting this free health care. Well, you're not getting anything free. And there are all these hidden costs that you don't realize. So out of Obamacare, you know, manufacturing costs went up to compensate for the taxes that they reimposed. Firms would make changes in their health care plan so that it would be more expensive. So companies will always find a way to compensate for increased taxes and burdens and regulations that government places on them. And it's a catch-22. And so the less government, the more money is in your pocket, the more choices you have, and that brings down the cost. So you're in, you know, if you don't like an insurance company because they're screwing you and the premium is too high, you can go someplace else.
But again, now you're hoping that, I mean, again, we're living in a fantasy world here where we're thinking that all of a sudden all these costs are just going to drop because the insurance company
will.
Let's just give everybody a lower premium.
Yeah, according to the Cato Institute, they would drop dramatically. You're right. No,
I would love to see it.
Hey, what do you think about taking the healthcare industry, the insurance companies, Mary Fran, that you're talking about, that you know the profit that you keep bringing up and what about this scenario? If we know government doesn't do it well and they're not an option, okay, great. And we don't want the insurance companies to make money because we don't, or whatever. I don't know what that's about. But
let's not go too far. I didn't say I didn't want them to make money.
Well,
I said that you know, those two things, healthcare and a monetary profit, it's just a very...
Well, I got a third option. Hold on, I got a third option. Okay. What do you think about this idea, kids? What do you think about healthcare being what if it was strictly a not-for-profit groups? That in order to be in a health insurance company, you had to be a not-for-profit. Could that work, Ava?
I think it could, actually. There could be, like, there are right now hospitals that are not-for-profit. There are quite
a
few. Many of them are big teaching hospitals all over the country. And we have the best healthcare in the world in America. That's another little issue I wanted to bring up. But I do think there are ways to group things together so that they would be more reasonable in their fees. I don't think it's too much to ask for to say, you know, you want this industry to skew more toward not-for-profit.
Sally, what do you think of that idea? Because that, to me, is a real answer here. To me, if it's not government, and if we're worried about everybody in the insurance side and the private side doing that, so what about it? What about not...
I'm all for it. There was a reason, a family member, we ended up in the Naples Community Hospital. It's non-for-profit. We typically go to the Mayo Clinic if we need something. It's non-for-profit. And it's amazing to see the bills, you know, because they're not working on, you know, they don't have to deal with the forms and the administration. They just provide the care and they bill you on a reasonable level and the insurance takes care of, you know, in my case, probably 80% to 100% all the time. So I think as much as you privatize, as much as you can do non-for-profit, as much as you can give the control back to the company, then it goes back to this kind of free market thing. If they're not successful, then you can go someplace else.
Well, you know what, kids? I think we may have actually come upon a matter of agreement.
Oh, my God. I just knocked my head up off the table.
I think that was well said. I really do. I think that there's
that could be the third leg, the third leg. And that third leg could be very fascinating because let's face it, the industry is hurting badly right now. And there doesn't seem to be an answer, or at least they're not looking for an answer. But, you know, the chances of that happening, again, are probably not real high because, again, the politicians would have to give up some power. And no matter what you say, and Ava, even the Republicans, they love the power, honey. They love it.
You know? I know that. You don't need to tell me that.
All right.
But there are good Republicans and Republicans that I call them rhinos, but, you know, they're Republican in name only.
I call them retards.
They want our money. You know, they want you to donate to their campaign.
Right.
But, you know, boy, when they ask me that question, I have plenty to say back. Yeah. If they're going to get my money for their campaign, they're going to hear what I believe in and they're going to agree to vote the way I want them to vote.
Can we talk a minute about the wellness factor? Because, Sally, you brought that up and it's important. I want to touch on that a minute. I don't know. I've just been realizing it more and more in my life, and I'm sure you probably all can speak to it as well. But the entire healthcare industry is, we're on this topic here, to me, is geared towards we're sickness. Sickness, illness, you know, that's when you react. And I kind of see we all do that. Like, for instance, for the first time, I have a physical for no reason other than I booked it coming up like in a week and a half. Like, men don't do that. Men hate doctors. You understand? I don't like any of the doctors in the healthcare system. But I booked it because I feel like I need to have it. I think I need to stay on top of things because I'm too much to do and got to watch my health, you know? So back to the wellness part. You know what I'm talking about?
You're not getting any younger, Malcolm.
Well, that's what I've been told, Ava. So thank you, love.
he has healthy cell now.
I know. Well, I got that, and I just need all those orgasms we talked about on that other show, Mary Fran.
There we go again.
Well, that keeps you young. That keeps you young, honey. So remember. Wait a minute. Our host, and you guys got to meet this Dr. Andrea Pennington out of Monaco. She's something else. She's something special. In fact, so much that I asked her if she wanted to date. Did I ask her
you
that, Mary?
Did.
Fran?
I did. She was
I hit her up on the radio. I hit her
did.
Up.
I don't know what was going on.
I asked her when her. She says she's seeing somebody. Did she say that?
I think she might have, Malcolm.
She said she's seeing somebody. Yeah, but she's not married. If that counts for anything.
Yeah. Well, you've got a chance then.
So I told her when she's ready to throw his ass out to call me or something, I'll move to Monaco with her. It's not a problem. I'm ready.
Oh my gosh.
I'm ready. Hold on, my phone's ringing right now. She took the bait. Oh man! But so, what about this wellness thing here? Happy mind, happy bodies, happy everything, right?
I think that's good. And you know, I think preventive measures are always a wise move. But again, Mal, I don't think you can really like force people to preventive medicine. I think they have to kind of come to it on their own accord.
You're so right.
I would like to have a healthcare system, you guys are gonna laugh when I say this, that's like my cable TV, okay? Right now, cable TV it's incredibly expensive. It's like a Christmas tree all lit up with all the stuff that I don't want. I call it the Obamacare cable, okay? And I could also not have that, and I could choose to stream Amazon or Netflix or, you know, Roku or something else and watch only what I want and pay for only what I want. I would like to see our healthcare system like that.
Wow. Great
you know,
point.
What I want, I pay for, and nobody dictates what I want. So in other words, if I wanted a healthcare policy with maternity benefits, I could buy one. if I planned to never have a child, then, or if I couldn't physically have one, then maybe I wouldn't need that piece in my plan.
Ava, you don't have kids, right? You don't have kids, right?
I do. I have a daughter.
Oh, you have a daughter. Okay, I didn't think you had any. How old is she?
Yep, she's in college, so
okay,
she's
all
old.
Right.
But
I didn't think you were old enough to have a. Hold on, I didn't think you were old enough to have a daughter in college. Talk to me on that.
Yeah, I had her when I was young.
Okay, cool.
but you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm getting at here? I'm getting at what you want and what you need. Okay, they could be two different things. But you should be the arbiter of that. The person, you're in charge of, you should be in charge of your health care, no one else. That's my point, I guess. That
well, it's a big point. I mean, Sally, that's a hell of an analogy. I mean, I kind of take that as, for instance, when people around me have television on, I don't like these rape and murder shows, CSI Istanbul, Law and Order, Arizona, whatever the hell they're called, you know. I hate them. There's enough mayhem and crap in the world than to turn on these shows and watch everybody kill each other and rape each other and murder each other. I'm just not into that scene, man. You know, I'd rather poke my eye out for the evening or do something else, man, you know. And so, but other people around me love that crap. They love to watch it, and I don't want to watch it, man. So it's the same thing. I kind of relate to what Ava's talking about. Mm-hmm. I hate the cable channels as well. I hate the television, and I hate all those programs. And I don't like those reality things either. Like I said, the what is it, the Fattest Loser or something, or the people who can't sing and all that crap. I mean, it's all garbage on television. There's nothing sophisticated about it, is there?
Well, I did like the show called what? Alone. I don't know if you saw.
Called
Alone.
Who?
Alone.
What the hell is that? Alone.
It's they take these people and drop them out on an island. Why I like that show? That show represents capitalism to me.
That's a cool show. I've seen several episodes. What that was? Forget what country was that in? Do you remember? Oh, Vancouver.
Yes.
I told you I seen it. I seen
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
And what's
awesome.
And that's not on a normal channel though. That's on one of those remote channels, isn't it? Like
I think it's A&E or
yeah, TSY or FBQ or something. I don't know what the hell it is.
I can think of a few people that I would want to drop in the middle of nowhere. I won't name names, but I can think of a few.
But see, it's capitalist in its inception, okay? The strongest survive. The ones with the skill sets survive. The ones.
Oh, my
that can,
gosh. And the then ones what about everybody
think,
else? Do we just let them die?
The,
God, you're killing me.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, it's not always the big, strong guy that wins. Because in the last season,
right.
There was a woman who was very tiny, but she was very incredibly smart.
Did she win?
And she foraged and found food, and she was just very brilliant. And she tied. I mean, she was tied for the winning spot. I mean, she almost.
I didn't see it. I didn't see that season. It was the year before I seen a few episodes.
All the weight she lost.
I would watch that. I don't watch. Yeah, I don't watch any television.
I have no idea what either of you were talking about.
We're talking about being lost in the woods, having a fight for salvation. Sally, get with it. Come on.
I'll have to check it out. I just don't do anything with a commercial.
It just sounds
to watch.
It's not like the other Survivor shows that you've watched. This one here is like the real deal. I mean, they actually give you a GoPro and you can tap out. But when you tap out, they come and take you out of the woods.
Guys, we got to wrap this up. And I hate to say that because I'm having a grand old time, I'll tell you. So it's been really cool. Mary Friend.
I have one message to end this.
Yeah, go ahead.
You don't rent your body. You own it. It's the only one you have. Take care of it.
Amen. Right. That's right. And that's a great commercial for HealthyCell.com. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So, Sally, Mary Fran, thanks. We've done two of these back to back here. You're pretty cool, you know.
Thank you. I'm sitting right back at you.
For a Democrat, I'd buy you a drink, love.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Actually, I have a.
Hey, I have a glass of wine with her.
Actually, I know
right,
you would.
Let's go.
I
girls.
Know you would. Yeah.
Boy.
I have a lot of friends on the left, by the way, Mary Fran. Some of the greatest people in some great, and they're more moderate mind, more like you, actually. They're not. I don't like lunatics, so.
We're not all bad.
No, you're not all bad. You're not all. You're not all good either.
I think I just met my favorite token Democrat.
Oh, thanks,
Sally. Oh, Sally less happy.
I'm going to put that on a little pin and wear it around all day.
What a fulfilling show that we've done this now. That is like, so Sally's got her, she's got her her lift here for the day. All right. So Sally Fernandez, Mary Fran Bontempo, and Ava Armstrong. Now, when you go to the site, guys, you'll see their pictures there, and you'll see a description and links to whatever they're doing. And they got all these people on the show, they're all the coolest, very cool people that are very busy people. And it's just cool to have them here on the show. The show again, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Wow. And we are having some fun. Check us out, 5 p.m. EST. We'll repeat it again at 11 on the apps. To be continued, friends.